and welcome to Our Two Cents, episode 88, with me, Rosh.
And Nam. And of course, we're very, very late for this episode once again.
Oh, we have no excuse this
we
time.
We had started, actually we do.
We had started
with such good intentions. We had planned our recording schedule. We had an idea of when we were going to record, what we were going to record, everything. But you know what? This happens when you are from a family where we all live in each other's business.
Yeah.
And so unforeseen plans happen. Not bad things, but unforeseen plans happen and our entire lives kind of derailed for a while.
Yeah.
So but we're back. Let's focus onward and on. What is it? The
onward and upward?
Onwards and upwards.
I'm not going to commit to that. You're the one who's going to have to commit to that.
Well, you know what? Let's just not keep me. It as we have the time right now. We're going to record it. We've got a few things we wanted to talk about. So we really, really wanted to do this. You know what? We're doing it. That's the important thing.
We're in it now.
We've started it.
We're in the end game now.
Yeah.
We just went past the anniversary of Endgame.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh. We haven't watched Endgame.
On April 24th.
We did watch, what's it called? Infinity War.
Was it 5 years? It's been 5 years, right?
It's been 5 years.
2019.
Jeez, it's been 5 years.
5 years.
So it was just before 2020.
Yep. The last good thing that happened in everybody's
Can
life.
Can you imagine if that had been scheduled for 2020?
Oh, good Lord. It would have been pushed and pushed and pushed. And
it would have been an absolute disaster.
I don't know. It wouldn't have
been. Or it could have been an even bigger hit.
True, because we would have been waiting for it for longer. And maybe like all this Marvel stuff that we've gotten in the last few years wouldn't have existed. Happened.
True.
And we would have just had this. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, who knows?
Okay, so what are we talking about today? We've got
two films.
Films.
I am so excited to say films and not movies.
Uh-huh.
because these are films.
Yes. What is the difference between a film and a movie?
No, it's the same thing, but like film is like, it's a bit more pretentious. Yeah, it's a bit more pretentious.
It's a film.
It's not the film.
Whereas we're going to the movies.
We're going to the movies. I'm so sorry for generalizing just then. But anyway. We've got two films. One of them is Monkey Man.
Mm-hmm.
Written and directed by the one and only.
And starring
the one and only my future husband, Dev Patel.
Well, I would not mind him in the family. All I'm saying is that. And then the second one
is Luca Guadagnino's latest film called Challengers.
Oh, starring.
Starring the incredible Zendaya, the fantastic Mike Feist, and the wonderful Josh O'Connor.
From The Crown.
From The Crown.
Known as, yes.
Amongst other things. Yeah.
Okay. So we've got, we thought, you know, since we've made everyone, our small little audience, what little we have left, which I'm sure after this long break like is now non-existent. we have brought you two really, really good films.
Yes. April's been a good month. April's been a good month. Let's just put a little pin at the end of that because we did see The Fall Guy as well.
We did, yes.
Which we will probably review after this, like in another episode.
In another episode, yeah.
Because this would have been too long if we did all three of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we were a bit disappointed.
Slightly.
But you'll hear a full review at some point.
Yeah.
April's been pretty good.
April's been good. So we watched Dune, the first one we watched at home, then we watched the second one.
Yeah.
Then we watched Monkey Man, and then we've been watching movies.
Yeah.
So it's not like we haven't been participating in our pop culture, world.
World, yeah.
We haven't been able to talk about it because it's just been nutso.
Yeah.
So today that's what we're going to do. So we're going to start with Monkey Man, and then we're going to finish with Challengers. And straight off the bat, let's jump in. Actually, before we do that, is there anything that you're like, any current like things that are like on the forefront that are happening that like is very important.
Meaning?
As in like just something that we need to talk about, like something like that we can talk about in the future as well, but like anything interesting happening, anything.
I mean, all these movies are coming out finally, so that's good. Because these were all delayed from the writer's strike and SAG-AFTRA.
That's the thing. Because I remember watching the trailer for Challengers like last year.
Yeah. This time last year. And we were getting ready for it to like have a Venice Film Festival release. Yeah. Like it was going to open the Venice Film Festival.
Yeah.
And no, that didn't happen.
That didn't happen. So,
but nobody's fault. It is what it is. It had to happen this way. So yeah, okay. We're finally here.
So let's jump into Monkey Man. As we just mentioned, it is written, directed, and starring Dave Patel, who has done an absolutely fabulous job.
Yes.
On his debut offering,
amazing.
Probably one of the best films in the action genre I have seen.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I would not. I mean, I don't think
it's up there. Yeah. It's up there. Like I've seen a few. Quite a few.
Of course. But I'm just saying, like, as an action genre with that much
for
depth,
a first time director.
For a first time, absolutely. Yeah. I think that needs to be taken into account. Yeah. Like definitely.
It's
first
up
time.
There, yeah. 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 It's definitely got its place in this genre. Yeah, it was really just there were scenes that were just balls to the wall crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Points where I was like, oh my god, this is really gross, but I love it. And like for me to say something's really gross is like, you know, it actually means something, but I was still watching it. I was like, this is disgusting, but I love it.
It was so good. Okay, so what is the film about? Like a bit of a quick synopsis, essentially.
Well, it's basically about Dev Patel's character, who is credited as Kid, but they don't really call him that in the movie.
There's no name for
there's
him.
There's not really,
really
like,
yeah.
At one point they call him Bobby because he just sees the thing written on a box of bleach and it's just like,
Bobby.
Bobby. It is about him getting revenge on the people that killed his mother.
Mm-hmm.
When he was a kid,
yeah,
because he lived in the forest of like where do we think it is?
It's in Maharashtra, obviously. Yeah. So where Mumbai is, the state where Mumbai is.
I was trying to figure that out, but I was like,
so I'm assuming that they were like some of the village, so some like the tribes that would live in the forest,
in the forest,
in the jungles,
So that's the basic plot that he's trying to get revenge, and he goes through the world of Mumbai, and he's trying to, you know, he's in a underground boxing thing, and that's how he makes his connections with people. And then the underlying thing of all of that is mythology, which is the story
specifically
of
the Ramayana.
Specifically the Ramayana. With Hanuman as the main figure that is focused on.
So if you are not familiar with the Ramayana, it is the story of Ram, who is, I think he's a king of Ayodhya, which is a place, and his wife gets taken away by by a king of another country, Lanka, which is basically like Sri Lanka. I think that is what it is. And he then goes on this epic journey with his brother to go rescue his wife. And Hanuman is a god. He's the monkey god. His powers are strength and endurance and loyalty, fierce loyalty.
Yeah.
And he goes along with Ram to help him with his army to go rescue Sita, who is Ram's wife. And so that's the story, essentially, of the original Ramayana. Giving you a very watered down version.
It's really, there's quite a lot going on.
It's beautiful. And if you were to ever read it originally, I have not read it in Sanskrit. I've read it in English, like a translation. But yeah, the way it was translated was still beautiful.
I've read parts of it.
Yeah, it was done by a Bengali scholar in like the 50s.
Yeah.
And he wrote it in poetry, which is how the original has been written. And it was just beautiful. Anyway, so that's the basis of the story. And Dev Patel's character is the Hanuman character, which is why he's called Monkey Man.
Yeah.
And the brilliant thing about this film is the fact that they've taken this mythological story and adapted it to this really gritty, disgusting, like, world where people are oppressed and treated subhumanly, and the corruption and the violence of it, and made this into this amazing story. Like, it's extremely violent.
Yeah.
But it is beautiful.
Yeah.
Is all I can say.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So a little bit about the cast, I think, is important. I think something really special about this film, and I think I said this to you, there's a lot of, if you are familiar with like Indian cinema or shows, you will recognize a lot of faces.
Yeah.
Which is what I really liked. And faces that are not necessarily the big stars.
Yeah.
They're not big stars. And that is
what he wanted.
Yeah.
That's what they've wanted to do, is highlight people who, from India, who he has seen in things and are not as like popular or as, you know, but like, you know them from stuff that you've seen.
Probably the most famous, I would say, or not most famous, but would be the actress who plays Sita. Her name is Shobhita Dulipala, I think.
Yeah.
And she is in Made in India. Made in Heaven, sorry. In Heaven, which is another show on Amazon.
Amazon, yeah.
Again, it's amazing.
A plug for Made in Heaven.
It's all really about good. Big fat Indian weddings.
Yeah. Like, literally, you think big fat Greek wedding is fat? Like, no.
And like, it's not, but it's not sugary sweet.
Yeah.
So don't be, you know, it's very gritty again. It's
very,
it's very interesting. Yeah. So, and probably, so she's probably the most well-known face, at least for me.
Yeah.
But then you've also got, like, you know, actors who've played, like, the villain who look very familiar, and then you're like, oh, I've seen them in like so many movies.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of like those faces that you very much recognize, but they're not big stars, which I really think is a good thing. You know, he could have he would have had to pay them a bomb.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, if he had gotten like, you know, SRK or someone. Like,
and the budget was only, I want to say it was only like 10 million.
Yeah, so that would have been like the entirety of SRK's salary.
Exactly. It was not a big budget. And we'll get into all of that because that's also important. But let's just talk a bit more about the story and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, these actors were brilliant. I loved the villain. What was him?
Rana.
Yes, he was great.
He was such a good villain.
Oh my God, you're awful.
Such a good villain. I loved him. So he is the character of Ravan, which is, who is, you know, he kidnapped Sita. So the key thing here is that the Sita character is actually not central to the plot.
Yeah.
Because you think that, you know, it's the Ramayana sort of takeoff from that. So Sita will be very... Because a lot of people were like, oh, why didn't he rescue Sita?
Yeah.
Hanuman never actually rescued Sita.
Yeah.
It was Ram who did that because Hanuman went in and helped, from what I remember.
And we don't really have a Ram character.
And we don't have a Ram character. Yeah. So the assumption is that she will rescue herself.
Yeah.
Right?
Which I'm assuming she did because you only see her at the end of
So that's something that I want to put a pin in because I want to come back to that. But generally speaking, in terms of structure, script, input... Yeah.
No, it's really good because one thing I've noticed, there's dialogue, but the dialogue kind of just like falls away to like really like poignant moments that don't need to have dialogue. And that's what I really loved about it. Like the whole bit with him going to, the alpha character.
Yeah. So the Hijra community,
The Hijra community. And like, you know, and then he tells him the story of the Ramayana, but also like of this place that they're in and the community that they've built.
Yeah.
And I just really like that's all like it is dialogue, but then like, there's so much like there's like a bit of a flashback story, and there's like music, whimsical music that comes in, and like
well, he basically goes through like an acid trip essentially.
He is going through an acid trip, and I was like, this is really cool.
Well, actually, I have to say one thing. Like when he's in that bit, so okay, so there's a bit where he gets injured. He's running away from the police. He gets injured. And he falls into like the most disgusting
water that he would have.
He would have died.
He would have had like every form of hepatitis. Oh,
disgusting.
Like,
And so he gets rescued by this group of, so it's basically like the trans community. We call them Hijras in India. And they're a very big community. And they are actually very ancient.
Yeah.
So they have been, they have existed for a very, very, very long time. But they have been marginalized in society.
Yeah.
And essentially, I was reading somewhere that a lot of that marginalization came in when the British took over in India. Whereas before that, the Hijras were a very big part of society. They were part of like worship and temples and things like that as well.
And now basically they just come when
And
people are having weddings and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
That's kind of their only purpose, which is not what they were, you know.
Well, they used to like give blessings.
Yeah.
Right? So they would come and give blessings, which is kind of what they do now as well.
True, but then like they're only around for that.
Well, yeah. And, you know, so they come in and so they'll say, oh, they'll walk in like to your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they'll
like, who's getting married?
Who's getting married? Like you're on, they don't even who, they know exactly who's getting married.
But they have to ask which house it is.
And they'll come to your house. Yeah. And you have to give them money. And the thing is, there's a lot of people who are scared, but
actually they really come in
and they give you their blessing and all of that. I remember when you were born,
because
you were born in a different city
to
where I was at the time. I was staying with our aunt and they somehow knew.
Yeah.
Right. And they came and they, you know, gave blessings and things like that. So, and I remember even when our cousin got married the last time we were in India.
Yeah.
They came. Yeah, yeah. And they, you know, blessed the bride and all that. And but you give them money and you give them food and stuff like that.
They kind of didn't really leave.
No, they didn't.
They were lovely, but I was like, okay, and we all need to leave now. We're about to go somewhere.
Yeah, and they sing and they dance and, you know, all of that sort of stuff.
Like, oh my
God. It's a very big part of Indian culture. Like, you know, so if you're familiar with them, like, you know. Unfortunately, a lot of people treat them very badly and people are scared of them.
Scared of them for absolutely no reason.
For no reason, but, you know, it is what it is. And I think the film's done an amazing job with representing that community.
Yeah.
But, so
which, again, he wanted to do that.
Yeah. And so, again, so he essentially gets rescued by them. And the leader of this group is called Alpha. Played by, again, he's a very famous Indian actor. Like, he's a character actor. Vipin Sharma. So, he's been in, like, lots of things.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
And so, he gets rescued by them.
Yeah.
And so, he's talking about, you know, him getting his powers back because he's injured and he's, like, feeling really defeated and all that sort of stuff. It reminded me of, and so he gives him that drug. He says, you know, you have to go through this toxic, like, it's like a chemical, essentially. It's part of a root of one of the trees there.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Black Panther. And I was like, oh, why? Like, the heart of the, like, you know, the purple flower, the thing that Black Panther, like,
yes,
he has to drink it to get his powers.
What is it called? And
I can't remember.
I can't remember what it's called.
It's like the Wakandan purple flower thing. Yeah. So it kind of reminded me of that a little bit. That was interesting.
The heart shaped herb.
The heart shaped herb. Thank you very much.
Oh my God. What was it called? Yeah.
The heart shaped herb.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you know he does that sort of thing. So it kind of reminded me a little bit of that.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. Actually, yeah, that's true. But no, I just love that the dialogue gave way to that, and then even like yeah, it's just, it was a really strong. Actually, I can't wait to read the script. Like when it's released, at some point, I guess. Like, you know, they release scripts at like awards time, and this better get nominated for some stuff. Ooh. But yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how like it compares to the film. But I think it's a really strong script in that it kind of like it lets him have his moments to just like be like it's not. Like, it's action heavy, yes, but then there are, like, very poignant moments where he just gets to reflect on his past and how he's going to move forward in the future, like, with the new realizations that come to him as they come to him. Mm. So that's, yeah, that was really good. Yeah.
I really liked the bit. I loved the backstory. Like, it's very sad. It's very brutal.
Yeah.
But I think they handled that really well because like, obviously, like, his mother goes through, like, the most horrific death.
Yeah.
But what I loved is that before we see that, because immediately, like, in stories where we've got, like, revenge stories, we go straight for, like, the tragic death. The
tragic
death,
yeah.
We don't actually get to know the character who died.
Yeah.
Right? But in this, like, I really enjoyed how we get to
know the mother as well.
We get to know the mother, even though it's in flashbacks, and it's all about her teaching him about the land they live on and the water and the roots of the trees, and she's the one telling him the Hanuman story and, you know, all of that stuff. Like, I just loved that we get to know the mum before she dies, so that moment of her death is so much more impactful.
Yep.
You know, so it's kind of like, it's even more tragic then.
Yeah.
Because I think if she had already, like, died, like, in the first scene.
Yeah.
I don't think that would have been impactful at all.
No, not at all. Yeah.
You know? So I really liked that. And it was just, like, this side of, you see this woman. Like, and that's the thing. Like, the story, even though it's the male character.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, the thing. The whole story is really about women.
Yeah.
And the fact that women are not just strong, but they're also really oppressed, and they're the ones that need champions.
Yeah.
You know, whether that is, you know, his mother, whether that is the girls in the club that are being, you know, trafficked.
Yeah.
Whether that is, even though he's not personally rescuing them.
Yeah.
Which I personally think is fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
You know, but we get to see that world and he's going against that world, that corruption that's, like, doing that to them.
Yeah.
Whether it's the trans community, you know, so it's like there's so many, like, aspects of these women that he's
and then the opposite side of that still with women and how the
Queenie character,
is the one who's doing this to them. You know,
so you get to see both sides of that female. Actually, you get to see three sides. You see the mother, who's like this really pure character, you know, this woman of God, and she's, you know, a woman of nature, almost like Mother Nature almost. Yeah. Then you've got Sita, who is essentially a prostitute, but she's a trafficked woman.
Yeah.
You know, she's not there because she wants to be there.
Yeah.
She's being oppressed. And then you see Queenie.
Yeah.
Who is the oppressor.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But then you also don't know what system Queenie has come out of.
True.
To make her that way.
To make her that way.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So you see all these different facets of women. So they're not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
Yeah, I just want to point out that the dog is also a girl.
Oh my gosh, yes, the dog is also a girl. Yes,
the dog is
happened
also
to be
a girl.
A girl, and such a cute little doggy cutie. So yeah, so I loved that. Like, little subtleties.
Yeah,
in the story are great. Favorite scene, if you were to pick, like, a favorite scene.
This is my favorite because when I learned how it was actually filmed, I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard, and that can either never be replicated or you'll just never do it justice. And it's the elevator scene.
Oh, yes.
With the fight in the elevator with the two, him and the two other guys.
Yeah.
And the elevator's, like,
teeny,
like the size of a closet. Jeez. Like a small little linen closet. And basically it was filmed by the two guys were actually stuntmen. Not just actors, they were actually stuntmen, and there was a camera attached to each of them so that when one of them goes down, it gets the angle for going up, and then, like, you know, it kept changing angles, like, like that, so every time, like, they get hit, they go down, then the camera that is on them is looking up.
Yeah.
And then it was just the most amazing thing. When Dave explained it, I was like, this is hurting my brain in the most amazing way. Not just because of that, but also because the soundtrack. Okay, so we got to talk about the soundtrack.
Wait, hang on. Before that,
yeah,
I want to talk about my favorite scene.
Okay.
I think my favorite scene is the training scene.
Yeah, training
scene. And the reason for that
sports
is...
Sports training montage!
Sports training montage. But I think more than anything, what made that scene is
The legend
that's included in it, Zaki Hussain.
Oh, yeah.
He is the the, and we don't know the name of this character. No. He's just the drummer.
Yeah.
Well, it's called tabla.
Yeah.
So he's playing the tabla. And if people don't know this, he's probably one of the most famous tabla players
in India.
In India, he's like played with the Beatles. I think he's played with the Beatles.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has.
And Ravi Shankar and all of these people. I have seen him perform. He came to our school to perform once. And unfortunately at that age, you don't appreciate stuff like that stuff.
But now, like, in hindsight, you can.
In hindsight, I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen him.
Yeah.
Didn't really much care for him back
without
then.
Being like, you know.
But, you know, I did see him. But yeah, I loved that. I think it was so unique and so amazing. And then, of course, you know, you've got the crowd watching him and cheering him on. And like, so it's not only it's got this emotional impact, it also has this really fun aspect to it.
Mm.
So I really loved that scene. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
I loved that scene. But the elevator scene just got me so hook, like, and sinker. Because the song that is also playing in the elevator, elevator music is Boney M. Rivers of Babylon. Yes. And look, I know there's probably families out there that are like, oh, we've listened to Boney M. There is nothing more important to a South Asian family than Boney M. And like, all the kids know it because the parents love it. So the fact that it's in there, you know exactly the kind of house that they've grown up in.
Especially if you are a Christian household.
Yeah.
Because you listen to the Boney M Christmas album.
Exactly.
At Christmas time.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, it's so, like, as soon as that started, I was like, is this playing Rivers of Babylon? Yeah. And you were like, yup.
The soundtrack overall was really, really good.
Yep.
I think it was great. It had like a really good mix of, like, you know, the diegetic and non-diegetic music. Mm. And it was just so well paced along with the scenes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, as you know, in this instance, it's like this massive fight scene going on in those rivers of Babylon
happening, and it's happening in like the tiniest space in the world,
and it's just such a fun way to use like this very benign sounding song for this really violent scene going on,
and extremely violent because he puts the knife through the guy's neck.
Oh my gosh!
And
yes,
slides it across with his teeth, and I was like, oh my god, if I didn't already fall in love with this movie, this just solidified it for me.
I will say one thing. I did not expect this out of Dev Patel. Like, I've seen his stuff before, obviously.
Yeah.
But I have not watched a lot of his stuff. I will be honest here.
Because, look, and this is getting into, like, why this film was made by him. Because he has always, like, as he's been saying in his interviews, he's always loved these types of action films.
Yeah.
Like Bruce Lee and, like, Jackie Chan and, like, all this stuff. And, like, there is a bit of humor in this that comes from Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Like, when he tries to, like, go out the window and then he doesn't, bumps across. Like, it's so funny and doesn't even break.
Mm.
So, like, that all comes from that. And, like, he was always inspired by
Bruce
these
Lee
films.
And,
these action films. And he never saw people who looked like him in these films. And, like, yes, there's, like, Bollywood films, but it was always the very, like, dishum type, you know? Like, as we like to say, the ditch cow of it all. And he's like, and I love all that, too. And there is a little bit of that sprinkled in there. You have to have a little bit of that sprinkled in there because that is a part of him.
Mm.
But, you know, this was very much the those films are the reasons that he wanted to do this.
Yeah.
And, like, his career so far, like, yes, he's done some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of it has been, like, the fun, kooky sidekick or the IT guy who has to fix the mainframe. Like, you know,
he's done stuff like Lion.
Yeah.
And he's done some of the other. That movie, The Wedding Guest.
The Wedding Guest is really good. And he's not talking about those. Yeah. He's talking about, like, the stuff in between all of that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the jobs that you do to get the money.
Yeah.
But, like, these are the things that have always been offered towards him. And it's very rare in the middle that he's gotten films that have been, like, Lion and you know, all this stuff. So, that's why he wanted to make this. And, like,
and I think,
you know,
it's so one of the things you brought up the Bollywood point. As I was watching this, I think I turned to you and I was like, why cannot we get something like this out of Bollywood? like because an action
they don't
movie.
Have filmmakers like this.
True, but what I'm saying is like, and this could be something that's just me, right? Because contrary to popular opinion, can't stand RRR or RRR or whatever.
I don't particularly like it either,
everyone loves it in the West, especially. I mean, I think lots of Indians like it as well.
Yeah.
I hate it. Like, it's just awful. It's horrible. Like, I just can't stand it.
Yeah.
All these other movies like Pathaan and, like, you know, these big ones. People love those movies. In India, they're huge.
Yeah, I know.
I cannot stand them.
Yeah.
Like, Pathaan
somehow War was okay.
War was still better.
Fine.
War was still better. But it was kind of like skating that edge. Pathaan was horrifying.
I don't understand what that was.
Like, I will say, like,
that's why you never even heard a review on this channel.
Well, considering, like, I remember talking, we were just chatting, Pathaan, like, the action sequences were not bad. But then they became so tedious because it was exactly the same thing.
Exactly the same.
And
it was slow mo. And it's like, you can't do slow mo in an action film because we're going to know that the stunt doubles are there.
Exactly.
Like, are you insane?
And that's the thing. Like, this film, considering, like, and these films, like, we were talking about these Pathaan and all, they have big budgets.
Yeah.
Right? They're big budgets, all of that. Yet you've got a small movie with a very small budget. And you have some of the best action sequences that are real, that are gritty, that are violent, that are really, really amazingly choreographed and visually stunning.
The budget was $10 million. Yeah.
Visually, they're stunning. Like, there's that bit in the final fight scene.
Oh, my God.
It's so at the end where he's on the bar.
On the bar.
And he's, like, silhouetted against the yellow light. Bar,
yeah, yellow, yeah,
and it's like, oh my God, that is so cool.
And even when he goes up in the elevator, which is actually the poster,
the red light.
Oh my God,
it's so brilliant.
And then even the first fight with Rana in that purple blue, in the bathroom,
Oh it's my God, so good.
Which, by the way, fun fact, he got an eye infection from crawling on the floor because all the water was going into his eyes. The things that this man has been through, he broke his hand. On the first day of filming, had to get a little, like,
pin
in there. And they were, like, they're literally calling it the nail that held this movie together. Jeez. And, like, when you have to get an x-ray, you have to, like, put your forefinger and your thumb together so that it comes up on the thing.
Yeah.
And then the x-ray of that became a t-shirt. And then everybody on the crew wore it.
That's
he
good.
Did that. He broke his toe.
Broke
at
his toe.
At some point. Jeez. I can't remember which stunt it was.
Oh, God.
And yeah, he got an eye infection.
Oh.
So he's been through a lot.
Oh.
He went through a lot. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then, of course, the budget and everything, they only had 8 stunt people. So they had to,
oh my God.
Like sparsely put them around. And, like, he was like, there were odds against us the entire time. He's like, this fact that this movie got made is, like, a blessing because it was not going to get made. Because this is one of the last COVID productions because COVID hit.
Yeah.
We're in Mumbai, in one of the biggest slums of Mumbai. They couldn't film there anymore.
Yeah.
They had to shut production down. Like, eventually they had to come back, but they couldn't go there.
Yeah.
So then they filmed in Indonesia. And so there's parts in the movie that are very much Mumbai, and then there are parts that are very much not Mumbai. So that was an interesting tidbit. But
so
everything was against him.
Basically, and this is still the thing. Some of these movies that have, like, everything going against them.
Yeah.
They still get made.
Yeah.
Probably
because
some
it's
of the best.
A movie about the underdog, right?
Yeah.
And the underdog always somehow comes through.
Yeah.
And that's what he wanted to make. He wanted to make a movie about the underdog, the communities that are marginalized.
Yeah.
That's everything that is in this film. And he's just done such a good job with it.
He's done such a great job. I think the story was so well done. Like, you know, you get this sense of cohesion with the story. You know exactly what he's fighting for. Exactly.
And there's a lot of political stuff happening.
There's a lot of political stuff. I really liked that. Because the backdrop of the story is this big election that's happening in India. And the election is happening the candidate essentially is kind of like what the current government is
like.
And
that's why this movie isn't coming out in India.
Oh,
hasn't come out
it there hasn't yet. Come out there.
No.
Ooh, that makes sense.
Yeah
And so basically, if anyone knows, you know, anything that's happening in India at the moment, they actually, India's having their election right now
as we speak.
But yeah, so it's kind of like got that backdrop of like the false prophets, you know. So there's the main villain, who is this big guru, who is actually a very corrupt man.
Yeah.
And he, you know, is considered a godly man, and he talks about, you know, the Shastras or the Vedas, which are like the scriptures, all these scriptures, and, you know, the religion and all of that sort of stuff. But he's actually a very evil person. Yes. And because of him, there's a lot of this prostitution happening, and people are losing their homes. Yeah. And
basically, Rana is the one who works for him.
Yeah, Rana is the police chief.
And he is basically the reason that their village burnt down.
Yeah, essentially. So Rana is like the police chief who's doing all the dirty work, essentially. Yeah,
basically.
And so, you know, you've got all of these characters that are very real characters.
Yeah.
They could have gone into that very, what's the word? Caricaturish sort of mode, but they don't which is really good, which is why I think the story like really, really reflects well. And I got really emotional at one point. I think it was like a montage of like political stuff that people were fighting for, and you know, about, you know, the freedom that is so hard won by India, and like how to safeguard its democracy, because essentially right now democracy is under threat. So all of that sort of stuff. And I thought that was so good that he put that in.
Yeah.
Because a lot in a movie that is to do with the Hindu faith.
Yeah.
Which is really amazing, because a lot of what's happening in India is, you know, this very big push towards like this Hindutva, I should say, because, you know, which is that Hindu nationalism, which is not good.
Yeah.
And it's done in a very negative way. There's nothing wrong with being a Hindu, but that kind of negativity is what's, you know, poisoning the society at the moment.
Yeah.
So a lot of that he's addressed in this film, which I really loved.
Yeah.
You know, coming from a background where we are a minority in India.
Yeah,
you know?
Technically. Yeah.
So it's a really amazing way to see that this can be done.
Yeah.
Without compromising your faith and without compromising your values at all. He hasn't done that.
No.
Yeah. And he's talked about his faith as well. He's talked about, I remember watching interviews, how he wanted to reconnect with his faith and reconnect with his roots, and he's done that through this film. I think he's done a great job.
I think he's done a great job.
Oh, okay. So, we've talked about how great the film is.
Yeah.
What would you tweak? What would you fix in it? Is there anything that you would fix?
I think maybe just like, I wouldn't fix the very, very end where it's ambiguous whether he survives or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's ultimately not important, even though he's the protagonist.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Like, I like that. It leaves it a bit vague. Mm. But before that, it would have been nice to not like how you were saying, like we should have seen Sita walk out, you know, being free.
Yeah.
I'm sort of okay with that too. But I think because like the Hijra community had such a big part in this.
Yeah, we didn't get to see
it. And they became part of the final fight, which is a great scene.
Yeah.
Seeing them like walk out victorious would be kind of
nice. Yeah. You know? That would be nice.
And maybe like Sita's like following behind them or something. Other than that, I'm just trying to think.
I would, you know, in my head, I remember saying this to you, what I would have loved is if Sita walked out, because there's this bit in the film where he's feeding the dog. Yeah, so like I would have liked to see that bit where she sees him feeding the dog and she says, well, why are you doing that? You're giving it hope.
Yeah.
When we live in a world that has no hope.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been really lovely to see her walk out and the dog sitting there and she and the dog walk out.
Yeah, that would have been really cute. Yeah.
I think just that. We don't have to see anything after else. That.
Yeah.
But essentially, there's that it symbolizes that bit of hope for her and that puppy.
Yeah.
You know, like you can imagine what you want after that. Maybe she adopts the puppy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But just that little bit of hope, you know, just that small bit of hope, because we don't really see her after she helps him in the fight and then she goes off.
Yeah.
that's something I would have liked. And the other thing I would have liked is obviously what you mentioned with the with Alpha and you know, the group. What I would have really liked to see is something to do with the election.
Yeah. What the outcome of the election.
The outcome of the election, you know, because we get this big, huge thing that happens, which is, you know, the death of the guru. He kills the guru.
Yeah.
Who was essentially like one of the major cogs in the election.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Maybe you can argue that that's not really the point and that's not important.
Yeah.
But because it was such a big focus of the story,
it was really nice. Happening, you know.
Yeah. It would be nice to see a conclusion to that.
Yeah.
So that's my thing.
Yeah, but again, it doesn't really take away from
the brilliance of this film.
The whole thing was just beautifully shot. The colors, despite this being like an action film and it being like really violent and everything, there's so much like color. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is all so amazing. I love this. It was just the whole, like you're sitting there in the cinema and you're just in it the whole time. It was brilliant.
I don't think there was even like a minute that I was bored.
Yeah. I was like, this is amazing.
The pacing was so good. Like, how long was the film?
I can't remember. It was like an hour and... Hold on.
It was really like... It didn't feel very long at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it didn't feel too short either. It was perfect.
Yeah. It was 2 hours exactly.
Oh, that's perfect.
Which is where you need to be, really.
2 hours is the sweet spot.
If it had been like 2 hours and 20 or 2.5 hours, it would have just gone on too much. Yeah.
For an action film that is story heavy.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know. Yeah. 2 hours is good. It's a good sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anything more than that is just too much. Too much. We don't need it. Cut it.
Yeah.
It was so good.
But I am so happy that this film got... Because like... It was originally meant to be for Netflix, and Netflix was kind of like, I love how Dave Patel says, I don't think they were counting on this being like a gremlin of a movie. They wanted pretty much John Wick in Mumbai.
Yeah.
Which is what they wanted, and this is not that.
And that's not it.
And then, lo and behold, came the one and only Jordan Peele and said, I'll distribute it for you under my production company, which was, I mean... Like that is the reason that it was even in our cinema.
Yeah.
Which is saying something. I really didn't expect that.
The thing that I was a little bit upset about was people tried to kind of go, oh, we need to boycott this movie because it's Jordan Peele and, you know, the whole Israel thing. And I was just like, that's just sad.
That's not the point of
this.
That
is just sad. Like, I think you can support Palestine and... also support a small filmmaker. Like, I'm sorry, but this was not about what this guy's done. It's not about him.
Yeah.
It's really about Dave Patel and the film that he's made. It's not about Jordan Peele.
Yeah, no, it's not. Scheme of but things. But I just think but yeah, that needed to be pointed out.
Good like, thing. Yeah. It is good that he did that.
That he took that chance. Yeah.
Gave him that opportunity. Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have, like, it probably would have just ended up on Netflix and not many people would have watched
it. Nah, not a lot of people would have watched it.
Whereas... everybody's talking about it.
Oh, it's I wonder how much money it's made.
It's made like 32 something.
So basically he's more than broken even
about the budget. Yeah,
which is great.
Yeah,
I think that's great.
So that's good.
So good. Okay, that was
so if it isn't a cinema near you,
go watch it.
Please go watch it.
It's I think a movie good. Like this has to be watched in the cinema. You can't watch it at home unless you've got like one of those massive screens.
Yeah. This needs to be seen
on
the big screen.
Oh
my God, it was so
definitely.
Fun.
Well, the second film that we're going to talk about.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Super excited.
Oh my God.
Is
The Challengers.
Well, it's just called Challengers. Well,
Challengers.
Not The Challengers.
The Challengers. Challengers.
They make it sound
the
like
The Challengers.
The Challengers. Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, so it's called Challengers, starring Zendaya, Mike Feist. And
you people are going to want to say Feist, but it's Feist.
And Josh O'Connor.
Again, amazing.
So good.
So amazing.
So good.
Focusing on our favorite sport ever that we've never played.
I know,
and that's tennis.
Oh my God.
Directed by Luca Guadagnino of what Bones and All and of Call Me By Your Name and Suspiria remake and and written by so it's actually written by playwright Justin I'm gonna get his name wrong, but he's married to Celine Song, and people have been doing like, because this is a story about a love triangle. Past Lives was a story about a love triangle. Everybody's like, what's going on in that house? Justin Kuritsky's
okay, yeah,
so he's like two movies about happening? A love triangle. But yeah, it's brilliant.
I think this film, the unique thing about this film, none of them are likable.
No.
You know, you've got all three of them. And the thing is, like, you keep guessing, like, who's the playing worst. And who's... Oh, my gosh. So, okay, so quick plot. Essentially, you've got three people.
Yeah.
You've got Zendaya's character. Oh, my God, I love her name.
Tashi Duncan.
She sounds like a real tennis
player. They all sound like tennis players, please.
And Art, what was his name?
Art Donaldson. And Patrick Zweig.
Absolutely. So, they are all tennis players.
So, Art is Mike Feist. Josh O'Connor is Patrick.
Yeah, so they start as juniors. And she is like slated to be like the next big thing.
Yeah.
And she gets to, I think she goes to Stanford.
Yeah.
Art is there as well. And Patrick's
gone pro at that point.
Yeah. Patrick goes pro because he decides not to go to college. Mm-hmm. And essentially there's, you know, this love triangle and this tension between the three of them.
Yeah.
Tashi, unfortunately, well, she and Patrick start seeing each other.
Yeah.
And then she gets injured in this horrible accident on court.
Yeah.
And essentially career ending.
Yeah.
And Mike swoops in.
Yeah.
Takes the girl.
Art swoops in.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, sorry. Art swoops in, takes the girl.
Yeah.
And they get married and become this big power couple.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And she's his manager. She's his coach.
And manager as well.
Manager, I guess, because she's doing a lot of that
quite involved
manager's type stuff.
So it's very interesting that way. And then, of course, you know,
and the backdrop is basically the premise is that Patrick and Art are going to be playing a challenger game against each other.
Because Art isn't doing very well. Because Art
has gotten all of the opens apart from US Open.
Yeah.
He's had a bit of an injury. He's trying to do a comeback.
Yeah.
And this is one of the ways that he can do it.
So it's like a small little tournament.
It's a very small little tournament in a place that I can't even remember. It's somewhere in upstate New York.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know that he's going up against Patrick until like they get there. And that is the backdrop. And then in the movie keeps flashing back to like when they were teenagers in the middle, when they're in college and all that time. And then, you know,
as adults.
And then adult is the present time.
Yeah. I think the best thing about the film is the structure of the film.
Oh, my God.
It is exactly like watching a tennis match.
Oh, yeah. Like, it goes back and forth between...
It's back and forth, back and forth, back and
but
forth.
But then, like, these flashbacks are set. So, so it's set up like a tennis game of, like, it goes back and forth. But then each set of flashbacks is, like, a set. It's all contrasted to that very long rally at the end between the guys.
So
too.
Good.
Which was amazing.
I'll be very honest, like as we were watching this, I'm thinking, oh, something's going to happen. Something like, as in like, you know, the very like someone's going to like kill someone or like there's going to be.
That's not what it was, yeah.
Oh, but that's what I liked about it because you think that that's what it's going to turn into. But that's not what it is.
Yeah, like someone's purposely done something to someone or...
I loved that that's not what it was.
They're
it was just
awful human beings.
And also, it was just life.
Yeah.
And they just dealt with what they needed to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, and whether that is to keep moving on, whether it is to ignore an affair, whether it is to have an affair, whether it is to... make certain decisions, like they just kind of like
have
kept
very
going.
Transactional relationship.
Just did it, and it wasn't like they were being malicious about it, because that's kind of the vibe I was thinking it would be.
Yeah,
but it didn't end up being but I think
because
that
it's all
better.
A psychological game more like of basic human function and how they are dysfunctional people. And they are constantly not playing each other, but like trying to
get
into each other's heads.
I think the game is between the two boys.
It's kind of with her too.
True, but I feel like she is very much in that coach's position.
I guess so.
You know, whereas the boys are kind of like, because it's almost like they're trying to impress her.
At the start, I think they're trying to impress her.
But then later on, it's not about impressing her. It's about competing against each other.
True.
Right? And she's kind of in that position where she's like, I just want to see you play this well.
Yeah.
That's
but then she's kind of in their heads at that point as well.
Because she wants them to play this well.
Yeah. You know? I don't think she's completely out of it.
Though. No, that's she's not completely out of it. No, no, no way. She's like
she is
in
the game as much as the two of them.
Yeah. But I think at the core of it is like this film is about true romance, and that true romance is tennis.
Tennis, yeah.
Because for her, for Tashi, she doesn't love either of them.
Yeah.
Even though Art is her husband and she has a child with him.
Yeah.
And she was in a relationship with Patrick. Mm. She doesn't love either of them.
Yeah.
For her, her love is tennis.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all she can talk about. That's all she can think about. Even her daughter says, can we talk about something else?
Why don't
can
you
we
talk do about anything else than tennis? Yeah.
So even with her own kid, she doesn't talk about anything else. Yeah. You know? Her mind is purely just on that.
Yeah. Because she's living vicariously through Art and his career. Because she didn't get to have this. She gets out of it at amateur level.
Yeah, and you can argue that Art, of course, he's good because he's very good, but you can argue that he's also good because she's made him that way.
Yeah.
You know, she's like pushed and pushed and pushed to make him that way.
Yeah.
You know? So it's this really complicated relationship drama, which we don't see often.
I know. And it's all happening with tennis.
It's all happening with tennis, like with sport.
Yeah.
And that to tennis, like it's not playing football or baseball or God knows what else. Like we're not big sport people. Tennis is a good sport though.
Yeah.
Love tennis.
Love tennis.
It's the best. It's so good.
So good.
Okay. If you were to think about script wise with this, like structure, the way it's script's written, like all of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, we've already kind of been over that.
Yeah, but like what would you say was like the really good strengths in it? Is there any weakness in there? Like what would you...
I think the strength of it is the way that's been set up with the flashbacks.
Yeah.
I think by having the byline come up, the slug line I should say, of like, you know, 13 years ago, now, blah 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 blah, and going back and forth, it makes it less confusing. Like we're very much, we know which part of their lives we're in. So that's good. People get a bit annoyed about that, but it's like that's a technique that is used so that you don't get confused.
It's a very non-linear storytelling.
It's non-linear stories. I've always loved them. I think if you do it well, it can make a really interesting film. I think the only weaknesses is like we get a little bit clunky towards the end with the whole bit in the hotel room and like, you know, the awful weather happening at the back, like outside, and like, you know, with Tashi and Patrick and all of that stuff. It gets a little bit like clunky there.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think it flows pretty well. This also was another movie where I was like, I am not bored like the entire time.
No.
Because the dialogue is so like quick and
snappy.
It's a
tennis match, even in the dialogue.
And like even in the scenes, it goes back and forth between them like a tennis match. So it's just the whole thing is a tennis match. It's brilliant.
And I think I love the way they used music.
Yeah.
Because in the tennis match, they've got like this really hard hitting techno music.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're like, you know, it's like, you know, they're sitting in the living room or they're sitting in a sauna and they're having a conversation and the music starts off.
Yeah.
And it's literally like, why is the music playing now? Like, there's no match right now. And then you're like, oh, no, hang on.
Yeah, there is a match
a match happening.
Yeah, there is a competition happening.
Yeah, it was such a good, like, audio cue.
Yeah, so that's always interesting. And I like that they did that because I can't remember who the composers were, but them using this, like, disco... like synth music. Yeah. Like, it's very, that doesn't happen in regular films. Like, yeah. if you want that to happen, it's going to be in a sci-fi film. Or like,
because it's very loud, like an 80s as well. Film
or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's very loud.
So the fact that it's happening in this was really interesting. Mm. Like, it's a really good use of that kind of music.
Yeah.
Because even the loud and like the, you know, the it's like really constant and like, you know, it just doesn't stop. And yeah. like, as we know, in a huge rally, it just keeps going back and forth, yeah. back and forth. And like, you don't know when it's going to stop. Yeah. And then, you know, eventually does. Yeah, it was just a really good, interesting way to use music. The script is set up really well.
Yeah.
Just that little middle bit gets a little, no, towards the
towards
end.
Towards the end, yeah.
Gets a little bit clunky with that whole hotel situation.
Yeah.
But
I really liked yeah. how it ends.
Yeah.
With the boys kind of like
hugging
and she's just like cheering because yeah. finally after all of this time we literally get to see like one of the best matches.
Yeah.
And it's like for her, it's like she got to see what she wanted to see, which yeah. is like fabulous tennis.
Yeah.
She doesn't care about yes! like all this little drama,
like yeah,
itty bitty drama that's happening. Her love is like this tennis. She wants yeah. to watch them play that tennis. That's all she that's wants all and she gets wants, to yeah. see it.
And I don't, like, in my mind, I think art does win because it's on
it's his... It's like he got his...
It's on his, it's on his serve.
Mm, yeah.
So people are like, oh, maybe it implies that neither, like, either neither one of them won, yeah. like, either one of them. But I think it is that, because if you look closely, it does go in, like, just that split second just before, yeah. Patrick grabs him before he falls. And then they laugh and yeah. then she just gets up from her chair. Mm. So yeah, and I think it is implied that art does win. And for him, it's that final justification of like, oh, okay, I did it.
I did it, yeah. You know?
But I also have what can be assumed I have this friendship still.
I think one of the things I really enjoyed was
because they haven't been friends for a while.
I think the yeah. thing that really works for the story is that the backdrop of the story is not the... US Open.
Yeah.
It's not like this big tournament, this yeah, fancy tournament. It's this
little challenger
tiny
game.
Tiny little game that they win, and like that they have to win just to yeah. kind of qualify essentially. Yeah. It's not even for anything big.
Yeah.
Really. I think the prize money is like really small as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it was like $5,000.
Right. So it's like, it's really nothing for yeah. someone like Art especially.
Yeah.
It's a nothing.
Who's won every other tournament.
Who's won like these big grand slams.
Yeah, slams. Yeah.
This is nothing.
Yeah.
Right? So I love that this is the backdrop and yeah. not like some
and
big
whereas open. For Patrick, it is everything because he has sort of gone down at this yeah. point. He's living in his car, basically. Yeah. He has no money.
Yeah.
Someone pointed out, and I don't know, I had to watch the movie again, but there's a bruise on his right arm.
Yes, I saw that.
And... I guess it implies that he's
a drug user.
He's a drug user as well.
Possibly.
There's a so possibility. He's really gone down. Patrick Zweig, really gone downhill.
I mean, he like one of the things he does is he hooks up with women so he has a nice
place to stay.
Place to
yeah.
stay.
Yeah, so that he has somewhere to stay.
Ugh,
which is sad. So sad. But I mean, it shows the what does she say to him in that argument? She's like, you could just easily go back to your rich parents and, you know, why are you doing this to yourself? But yeah. it's that stubbornness. It's that yeah. need to
prove yourself
constantly.
I kind of like you could sort of write him off as like, oh, he's just playing poor.
Yeah.
But I think for someone like that, when you don't have to and you're doing that in your heart and you really, really like trying to get back up.
Yeah.
It's you can either take it as like, oh, he's just, you know, I don't feel like he's playing poor though at that point.
Maybe not, but then how do we know?
Well, yeah, true. I mean, he does
because
seem
he
a little bit
so,
like full of
you
himself.
Know, full of himself and like likes to
the
project.
Tortured athlete,
but yeah. he also likes to project that nothing phases him and like, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And but we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
It's very interesting.
It's amazing. It's great.
I think, like, obviously all three of them are amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Zendaya.
Oh, Zendaya is... I have been waiting. Now, I know she's a great actress. I love her in pretty much everything that she's been in. But I have been waiting for a film for her to, like, really sink her teeth into.
Yeah.
Because during part one, she is there for literally, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, she's not there for very long. Yeah.
Right? During part two, she gets a little bit more. Yeah. She gets more of a role. And I'm like, yeah, this is really good. But this is, like, we see the full scope of her acting in this. Which was fantastic. There's that one bit where she and she and Patrick are outside the hotel. And he's like, oh, you should be my coach and blah, blah, blah. And there's this way that she looks at him.
Yes.
With, like, one eye is, like, totally crazy and one eye is, like, you know, unfocused. And I'm just like, what face is she making here? But it's fantastic.
Right? Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so good.
Her expressions in this, I have never seen her do this before.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've seen her in, like, other stuff, obviously. Mm. I haven't seen her in Euphoria. So everyone says
she's great in Euphoria, too. And again, that is a different muscle of hers. But I wanted something that shows every facet of her.
More of an adult role.
Exactly.
You know, because we've seen her as MJ and she's adorable and she's cute and that.
Yeah.
And we've seen her in what's that? I mean, there's heaps of other stuff that she's done, but, like, it's always sort of like this very young person.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in
Euphoria,
this,
she's a young person, but all of the stuff that has happened to her is making her older than she actually is.
Yeah.
Like, having to deal with all this stuff. Whereas this, she is an actual adult in this film. You know.
Yeah. And I really I loved seeing her as that and to see her do.
Yeah.
The stuff that she did, obviously, you know, with the expressions and, like, the way she talks and the way she moves. And, like, because she's always moving. She's never really sitting down. Because even if she's sitting down, she's doing something.
Yeah.
You know, like, just that constant energy she's bringing. Where, and that's the other thing, movement within this. Like, you see
the camera movement as the well.
Camera movement.
So amazing.
You see the characters, the way they move.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think it's this one, Art.
Mm.
A lot of him is sitting.
Yep.
And still.
Yep.
And he's sort of,
he doesn't say anything for the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Exactly. Like, not a word
comes
out of him. Right. And he's, a lot of it is just he's sitting and he's watching and he's observing. And even, you know, the bits where he's sort of trying to get her to give him a little bit of attention and affection.
Mm.
It's almost like he's craving that affection from her.
Yeah.
Because he's never had it.
Yeah.
You know?
From her. Yeah.
From her.
Yeah.
Like, if you notice, considering Art and she are married and Patrick and her were only going out, we have more of, like, a make-out scene between her and Patrick than Art and her.
Yeah. Apart from the bit in the hotel room at the end.
Yeah, but even that wasn't...
But it, like, look at the conversations that are happening before that. Exactly. He's like, are you going to leave me?
Exactly.
Because of... And then it's that desperation thing.
Exactly.
You know, because he always tells her that he loves her.
Yeah, she never says...
And she never says it. She always says, I know.
She never
says it back. But it's also that thing of, like, in her mind, it's probably like, okay, do you love me for me?
Mm.
Or do you love me for the athlete that I was? Yeah. The woman that I've made you into, like, sorry, the person that I made you into, like, the woman that I am making
things
you
that
person,
I can do for you,
things that I can do for you.
Yeah.
Do you just love me because of talent and not for the person that I am?
Yeah.
You know, so that's from her perspective.
Mm.
God, it's just so good.
It's such a good movie.
Oh, it's just so good.
Can we please talk about the fashion?
The fashion. Oh,
I mean, especially
God.
Her. Like, the boys are just like, eh, whatever. But her, oh my goodness.
My God, that dress that she wears for the challenge again. Oh, God.
I did not like the shoes, though. She was wearing those ugly Chanel espadrilles.
I didn't know this, but anyway. I was just like, that dress and awful. The sunglasses are amazing and her hair is great.
Oh, my goodness. So good. So good. But yeah, like, I have been waiting for a film. And this goes for both Monkey Man and for Challengers.
Mm.
You know where... Okay, let's be honest. We were deep diving into a lot of, like, nerdy Marvel type stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
And having... I'm not to say that, you know, things were not coming out.
Yeah.
But I think to this extent, the exposure of films like this, like dramatic films or not so much action films, but, like, you know, that focus that they get of on screen to be in the cinema, for you to go and watch it. Has not happened in a while.
Yeah. To be honest, it it's happened now from 2023 onwards.
Yeah, I would say
the 2023 films, the ones that I managed to get to watch, incredible.
Yeah.
And like, we didn't get to talk about them because we didn't really talk about the Oscars and that stuff because we've been on a self-imposed but totally accidental hiatus. So like, you know, we've been on a good streak so far. And yeah, we just get to watch normal dramatic films in cinemas again, which because is what we've missed.
The other thing is a lot of this stuff becomes series.
Yeah, either series or goes straight to Netflix.
Right.
Straight to Amazon.
So they get lost in like the millions of streaming options that you have. And then, you know, if it's a show, a lot of times you have to like chalk out a time to sit and watch it. And like, it's just, it's not the same. And again, you know, with having short, sharp films, again, like Challengers, it, I don't know how long it was, but it didn't seem very long and it didn't seem very short. And honestly, like I was not bored even for a second.
Yeah. Again, not bored for even a second. It had so many interesting angles and camera work, and like there was so like the camera, can we just talk about the camera work for a second?
Yes.
Because there is the shot that I absolutely love. People have been talking about the ball as the camera.
Yes.
I do love that.
Yes.
But the camera underneath the court.
Oh, yes. That was excellent.
Stop. That I was just like.
Excellent.
Ah, I like, if I could have screamed in the middle of the cinema, I would have. Oh my God, it was so good. And the last shot, I'm going to be thinking about that for a long time.
Yeah.
Of like
the slow-mo.
Like falling into Patrick's arms and her like getting up, just going, yes. And then it ends there.
It ends there. Such a good way to end it.
What an ending.
Such a good way to end it.
The slow-mo of Art, just like
that,
but like also where he reaches out and the ball just like drops into his hand. Oh my God.
The serving. I loved the bit where at the end.
2 hours and 11 minutes.
There you go. Perfect timing. Amazing. Again. So you know the bit where and this is the thing with the ending. So in the film, if you haven't watched it, there's, you know, spoilers, whatever. Because, you know, it's a love triangle.
Yeah.
So there's Art asks him whether he slept with her or not.
Yeah.
And he says, you don't have to say anything, just serve.
Yeah. Just put the ball in the middle.
Put the ball in the middle of the racket if you have, right?
Yeah.
And he does that.
That in the final game.
In the final game. Because she does not know about that.
Yes.
She doesn't know about the little symbol.
Split second where Art just goes F you when he realizes, and it's just them looking at each other. She's looking back and forth between them.
What is going on?
Like, what's going on? And for that first time in a very, very long time, Tashi is not clued into something.
And that is amazing.
And she is in the dark about something. And that is amazing. Fantastic.
And not only is it because she has no clue what's going on, it's also, it's almost like in this very brutal, horrible way, there's that connection of the two of them.
Mm.
The friends.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that is just between us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Game on.
Because before that, the first time they really see each other is in the sauna scene.
Mm, yeah.
Where Art is very much Tashi in that scene.
Very standoffish.
He's really standoffish towards Patrick.
Yeah.
That is another great scene between them. And I was just like, the acting, brilliant. Like, I don't know whether I'm like on my, like, whether it's my Feist or Josh Connor, like, that, they're both good.
There's that thing of like, as you said, like, he's like Tashi.
Yeah.
It's kind of like she's rubbed off on him.
Yeah.
Very much so. Like, he's become like this very, because before that, you know, when you see him
he's
in the flashbacks,
he's
sunny and happy and all of this sort of stuff. Whereas now he's cold and he's calculating and he's very shrewd.
His
almost,
silence speaks,
you know,
a lot of volume.
He doesn't talk very much.
Yeah.
And in this situation, he's just like, oh, it's like, whoa, like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's very much aware of their position.
Yeah.
And at this point, like, I believe their marriage is purely just for the tennis.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's not for anything else.
And that's the why that whole conversation happens at the end in the hotel room.
Yeah.
where he's like, are you gonna leave me if I lose? Yeah.
You know. Which is why it's like you watch a film like this and you think, oh my god, there's no like love and romance and blah blah. I love that because even though technically the love is between Patrick and Tashi,
yeah,
but even then it's only from Patrick's side.
Yeah. Again, Patrick is very much in love with her. He is very much in love with Tashi. And like we said, Art is in love with her, but what version of her is he in love with? Whereas I think Patrick is...
he's in love with all of her.
Yeah. Whereas messy parts and all.
She was only... and I choose to think she was only with him because he was pro.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's pro. He's playing well.
You're like, you're at Stanford. I've got a boyfriend.
That's my boyfriend.
In the pro league.
Will turn pro at some point. Yeah, it's a status thing for her. So it's very interesting to see like how the relationships between all three of them.
Yeah.
It is such a great character study.
Oh, it's so good. This movie has to be studied by people. It is such a good character study.
Is this based on a book?
I don't think so. Justin wrote this himself.
I wish it was a book almost. Because it really I love that it's a film, but I'm just saying, like, this is a book.
Because he just wrote it.
In film form.
Yeah, true. He just wrote it. He also didn't know anything about tennis.
Oh, really?
And he was just happening to be watching US Open, the Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka game. And he was like, he saw something of, like, the umpire say something. And it was that the ball that was called out and Serena had this
when she lost it
and he was like, oh, that's so cinematic. And he was like, oh, and like ideas kept coming to him. Which I mean, that's always,
well, I will say this has inspired me. I really want to write something about tennis. Again, I have never played tennis.
Yeah.
But I do know about the game.
If Justin can write a movie without ever having played tennis, then
true. So I'm just like, I would love to write
like
something.
The shot like was so incredible. Again, this was so colorful. Luca is just an incredible filmmaker, and like this really, like this is like I think this is now one of my favorites of his.
Yes.
Because I do love Call Me by Your Name. I did enjoy Bones and All quite a bit.
Very different vibes.
This is like,
yeah, very like, different vibe to this one. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So before we finish off.
Okay. I know we talked about Zendaya, but who was your favorite of the two guys?
Very hard.
Like, I know.
Very, very hard. I think I would say Mike Feist because.
Oh my God. He was so good.
Because this is the first thing I've seen him in.
Okay.
Because I've seen Josh in The Crown. Obviously, he's amazing. He's brilliant. I love him.
Yeah.
But I've never seen Mike in anything before. I've never seen West Side Story. I really, really enjoyed him.
My whole thing is when I saw the first bit of him where he's exercising in his muscles, I was like, you are a rail in West Side Story because you had to be like an emaciated teenager that has like probably not eaten in days.
He's got muscles now.
In this, and like, of course, he's a brilliant dancer. He's incredible in the movie, but also like he's been on stage.
Yeah.
But he was a newsie before he was a Jet.
Oh, okay.
but then you see him in this and you're like, I'm sorry, what? Mike Feist got muscles.
I really liked him in this.
No, he was great. Yeah.
I think he was really, really good. Because, as I said, I've never seen him in anything.
Yep.
And I love Josh as well because, you know, seeing him in Crown.
The Crown, Emma.
He was in Emma as well.
And a few other things. Yeah.
Crown was so different. Emma was so different. And this again was so different. So, like, he's clearly got a range happening.
And he's got another movie coming out.
Yeah.
Like in another couple weeks.
Yeah. So, you know, it's so nice to see what he's doing.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Brilliant. He was so good.
All of them are amazing. This is the future of Hollywood. I'm very,
and it's very exciting.
Yeah.
It is very exciting. Now, I just want
to talk about like Dream Part 2 with like, you know, Florence Pugh and Austin Butler and Timothée Chalamet. Like, all of these people are the future.
Can I just say, and they're amazing. Dune Part 2, well, Dune Part 1 as well, but Part 2, I was impressed with Timothée Chalamet. Mr. Timothée Champagne. Like, honestly, Charlemagne. Not Charlemagne. What's his name?
Chalamet.
Chalamet.
Timothy Champagne.
Well, I've been calling him Timothy Champagne because it's fun. no, but the thing is, like, I have seen, like, you know, girls used to go gaga over him. Like, yeah, whatever. He's a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see all like, the funny memes of him, like, dancing around.
Yeah.
Statistics. Like, all that stuff. And then I'm just like, yeah, whatever. And then I saw Dune and I'm like, damn, this kid can act.
Yeah.
He's good. Really like, he's good. Really, really good. So I'm really looking forward to him.
Yeah.
And I read in this interview somewhere, and this is my heartbreak. I really want Tom Holland to kind of do something like good.
That's why I am so happy he's going to be on West End for a while. And he's doing Romeo and Juliet.
Good.
I'm like,
that's good.
Yes, child.
That's really
come
good.
On up.
Yeah. But the thing is, there was this interview. I think it was Timothy mentioning it. I can't remember. But apparently he had spoken to, I think it was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And Leonardo DiCaprio basically turned to him and said, do not do anything superhero.
Yeah.
And as much as I love superhero movies, I do. I absolutely love them. I kind of can see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the trajectory, and it could just be timing.
I think it's more timing than anything. Because other people have been in Marvel films and
absolutely. But
really
I think
amazing
as
things.
Like the first thing that you do.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's kind of where
and
the
that
timing
really,
comes
this
in.
This really was his first thing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Tom Holland, no one knew him before that. So
he was a Billy Elliot kid.
Yeah. So no one really knew him before that. So I think this was a really like crucial piece of advice that he gave him, and I think that was a great piece of advice that he gave
him.
So anyway, but before we sort of finish off,
yeah,
gotta talk a little bit about what's coming up.
Yeah,
what's coming up? Something big is coming up on Netflix.
Bridgerton. Before we get to Bridgerton, can we just do quick fun facts about the movie?
Yes.
About challengers?
Yes.
We did a little bit about Monkey Man. We should do it about
this.
So Zendaya is technically the third Spider-Man girlfriend to be in a tennis film.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God, Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who Emma Stone in Battle of the Sexes.
Oh yeah.
As Billie Jean King. And
oh my goodness,
Zendaya.
Yes.
So the pipeline of Spider-Man girlfriend and
tennis
star
player.
is quite strong.
There you go.
So that's one thing.
That's interesting.
Which they mentioned to her. She's like, oh my God, yes. It was so funny. Mike Feist and Josh O'Connor both had like, you know, had to be like on a strict regime for this. They were working out and everything. Josh O'Connor did not follow that at all.
Of course not.
He was eating whatever the hell he wanted when people were looking. Like they would be in the training room and Mike would be going at it, like,
oh,
you
God.
Know, like this. And like the minute the trainer was out, Josh was like, nah, I'm not doing the rest of
it's
this.
Because he's a dancer. It's like,
but
he's
Mike
got that
has to like work his body. Like, yeah, you know, he's a dancer. He has to keep all of his muscles loose. But it was really funny because even when they were on court for the challenges game, they were like, oh, we need to sweat more and like all this stuff. So Mike was doing laps around the tennis court. And Josh wasn't doing anything. He's like, nah, just spray me. Like they did spray Mike too, but he was just like, nah, just
why
spray
would you
me
run laps if they can just spray you?
But again, he's a dancer. Like he has to be, you know, enough. Like that's just his thing. And a lot of people were like, how is this guy jumping over these tennis nets? Like I saw on Twitter
jump.
Being like, oh my God, he's just like full on
jump.
Leaping over. I'm like, yeah, did you guys not see West Side Story?
He can jump.
That guy can jump. Like, there was all of that too. But then, the funniest thing to come out of all of this is in the interviews, people asking them who was the best of, because obviously they had tennis doubles when the camera wasn't on them, but they did also have to learn quite a bit as well. And so they're like, who was the best of tennis out of the three of you? And Josh is being like, it wasn't me. And Zendaya being like, yeah, look, I was okay in some points, but it was also like, you know, I was whatever. And Mike is like, no, but you guys are really good. And like, you know, you have this thing. And Zendaya is going, it was you. You can tell us we were crap. It's fine. They're like, he has never admitted it. He never will that he's
the best.
And everybody's like, yeah, he's the best. He's been so good. And everybody's like, he's like, no, but like... Like, you can tell us we were crap. It's okay. So they have had so much fun with the press
that
junket.
Is fun. That is so much fun.
And yeah, there's just so much hilarity that has gone on. And
the chemistry between all three of them was fabulous.
The three of them was absolutely amazing. including the two guys, but we won't tell you about that. Go see it for yourself.
That's a surprise.
That's a surprise. It's a
surprise.
Challengers in the cinemas now, everywhere, because it just came out this week in the US.
Oh, really? We got it a week before?
We got it a week before the US, guys.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Usually it's like a day, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only because of the time difference. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now we're going to have a quick chat about Bridgerton, and then we're going to wrap up. So Bridgerton, what dates are we getting?
Part one is May 16th.
And part two?
And part two is June 13th.
Okay.
It'll be four episodes each.
Yep.
What are we gonna do, part one, part two?
Yes.
Or are we gonna, no, as in like for this?
Yes, we're gonna do
part, we're not gonna one, do a full,
because it's like it's a month between two.
True. That's like well, knowing
no us. Because we've got to do part one, and then we're going to talk about predictions.
Okay, we better actually do
it. No, we're gonna do it.
Okay,
we're gonna do it. So we're gonna talk about Bridgerton. But I'm loving the little excitement that's happening around Bridgerton.
Because finally we're having excitement after having nothing for so long.
Well, a lot of people were like, look, the first time around, Simon and Daphne and the two characters didn't get all this because people didn't really know what this show was.
Yeah.
No one knew how it was going to respond, how they were going to respond.
Yeah.
Like, no one knew how big it would become. The second time around, it was all COVID, you know, and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah. Although, well, having said that,
they had quite a few like press junkets.
They did have certain press junkets. But this time around, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
A lot. But I think a lot of people like, Jonathan Bailey and Simone Ashley didn't get all this. Like, that's so unfair, blah, 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 blah. But I think it makes sense because not only is it season three, so there's been this build up for the last few years, and we're getting this after
last
a really
few years,
long time.
And we haven't gotten anything up until now. We've been getting like little snippets
drips
of photos,
and drabs,
drips and drabs.
No, but like they've been talking about like the attention and like the press and like all the lives and stuff that they're doing. But I think it makes sense because if you notice, a lot of the press right from day one, it's been Nicola Coughlan that's been doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. How do you say her name?
Coughlan.
Coughlan.
Yeah.
Who's been doing it. This time it's her season.
Yeah.
So obviously she's going to be doing it as well.
Yeah.
So it's almost like she's always been, because she is Lady Whistledown. So I think it's always been her as like an unofficial ambassador of the show.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Because she's the one that leads all the interviews, and she's the one that leads all the press things and blah, 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 and all this. She does all the official posts and things as well a lot of times. And she's like the official spokesperson. So if it's her season, I reckon.
Yeah.
That
of
makes
course
sense.
It had to be that way.
Yeah. It makes sense.
It makes sense. But yeah, we are all very like, we have been getting nothing.
Oof,
just crumbs so of like photo here and a photo there. And
well,
like,
we
the
did get lots
time.
Of pictures. Yeah.
No. And then they started doing the little slow-mos and everything. And we're like, where is this trailer? And then the trailer drops.
The trailer drops.
Last month.
Oh. Oh, there's so much. There's so much in there.
Oh, there's so much in there. And apparently it's only part one.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What is going to happen to us?
I will say one thing. I never thought, like, having watched season one, never thought Colin Bridgerton was it.
Mm.
I was like, really? He's one of the main characters in the books? Ugh. He looks like a child.
Aw, poor Colin.
I mean, yeah, like, he's cute. But no.
No.
Oh my God.
Now
it's like, what happened? What happened?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. So excited.
My God.
So excited.
So excited. But can I just say,
mm-hmm.
there is one person who does not need a glow up.
That's Mr. Benedict Bridgerton.
And that's Benedict Bridgerton, Luke Thompson.
Yes.
How the hell are we going to get through season four?
I don't know.
How the hell?
I do not know.
Are we going to survive? Because
apparently
he's looking so good.
Ugh, he's looking so good.
Already.
This news came like a couple of days ago. They're starting filming for season four in
July.
June. July, yeah.
Mm.
So exciting.
Please don't make us wait longer, because we already waited so long for season three.
Well, if they're filming in July, we'll probably get this in 2026.
No, that's dumb, because hold on,
when did this finish?
This filming finished in March last year.
And we're getting it in May.
And then we're getting it in May. It's so dumb that we waited this long.
It's so stupid.
Like we've said, this isn't The Crown. You're not doing anything
I don't understand the strategy.
Ending someone's legacy.
I think the strategy is to starve everyone so much and then just feed them. And then starve them again and then feed them. It's like intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
On Bridgerton.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
No, we want to binge Bridgerton. Thank you very much.
Anyway, okay.
This is why I don't agree with this whole part one, part two thing. But anyway, we'll deal with it.
Whatever. So it was lovely doing this with you, sister, again.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
I missed this.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have been somehow following us still and you're still out there and you get this episode, thank you.
Seriously.
So much for sticking by. We're not making any promises, but we're going to strive to do better and get more frequent episodes out.
Yeah.
This has only been the second of the year, and which is just shameful, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think having said that, we've got a pretty good episode.
Yeah. I hope so.
Anyway.
We have to think of what we want to do for the 90th episode.
Yes. Well, let's get to the 90th soon.
In like two episodes time.
True. But if you have followed us, if you've been listening to us, please follow us on our socials. It will be all linked in our description, and we will talk to each one of you
next time.
Bye.